why is it taking you 5 years to get back to Dublin?
Well, we tend not to really tour very often as a band. I don't know why. It just seems like we kind of get a record together, then we go out on tour, play it till the tunes, you know, till it seems like we need a few new ones, and then start planning a record and go on complete hiatus to do songwriting and recording, and that process always takes, you know, about 2 years longer than we think it will. And, but we're all sort of busy in other things back in Winnipeg as well, like, involved in a bunch of different stuff, each one of us, so it's like, we certainly keep ourselves busy when we're in downtime. And, yeah.
You guys work?
Yeah, like, right now, just to help pay the bills, I'm doing some group home work home for some people that have been institutionalized in the past and are being reintroduced into the community. And I do some activist work for a group called the Canada Haiti Action Network. It's a national organization sort of devoted to exposing Canada's exploitative role in what's going on in Haiti. And it's a pretty complicated sort of thing, but basically Canada is... With more or less nominally not participating in the Iraq War, it was a way to sort of curry favor with the Bush administration, involving themselves in a coup d'etat and breaking all sorts of international law, and making the Canadian business people happy in a few different sectors, like garment making and mining industries, and actually Quebec Hydro is down there securing a bunch of deals and stuff like that, but it's definitely not humanitarian reasons why they're down there. It's purely economic. So.
I guess a lot of what we do would be running G7 as well.
I haven't been involved in G7 personally for a number of years now. It was something that I started doing in the void of that. Like, G7 took a lot of time and energy. Chris is still really involved with that, but I just needed a sort of change of pace, a different stuff outside of the music scene, because I just found, like, the whole process of, you know, helping produce and distribute records was in a scene that was getting completely sold out. It was a really hard thing to do day to day, and, you know, you spend a lot of time and energy trying to help bands out and stuff like that, but it's difficult work. I just needed to, I don't know, get my fingers into something else a little bit different.
And do you know much about how G7's, well, from what I've read, it runs on the Paracon cell system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about how that kind of works out in a practical day-to-day way? It's quite complicated.
I mean, a lot of it to me is like common sense. It's just like, if people are involved in a project, I think everybody deserves to have a certain amount of input, you know, in all aspects, and share all aspects of the work that's going on. And I think Paracon is a really good ideal model. It's certainly challenging putting it into the principles into sort of practice in the workplace with especially the larger the project and the more the people involved, it's a challenge, but I think it's something really worthwhile, and participatory economics and democracy is something I think that this world needs to seriously consider and improve on. And I don't know, it just allows you to be more critical of sort of enterprises that are run top down and in a more sort of dictatorial way, like the classic
like
corporation. Well, yeah, you could make that analogy, certainly. Like, any sort of company is usually run by one or two people, or the person at the top, and it's just like that form of social organization is inherently more dictatorial or fascist than it is democratic. So.
there's kind of a beef, a perceived beef anyway, between you guys and NoFX, and between G7 and Fat Wreck. Is that as real as it seems from like reading internet forums or such?
I would
been
say
a few songs.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been involved with Fat Records since like '92, I think, or something. And I mean, we were sort of at the right place at the right time, or wrong place at the wrong time. They were really good. Like at the very start of the whole thing, it was sort of being run out of a garage in San Francisco, you know, just by Mike and his partner and one other person, and then the whole punk rock explosion thing happened, et cetera, et cetera. Years later, you find yourself being your contemporaries on your labels are all crawling over each other to basically get on tours that are incredibly pro-capitalist, and it's just mind-boggling because all the bands that inspired us to be a political band from day one were like, you know, anti-capitalist to the core, and that's something that really appealed to me in my youth. And to just see music just turn into this shell of its former self and be used as a tool for corporations to further their agenda to a lot of, you know, disaffected youth and young people who are beginning to really criticize capitalism. Like, I think the whole anti-corporate liberalization movement was picking up so much steam in Western Europe and North American world. Like, people are getting actively involved opposing it. And then to just allow yourself to go along with this sort of form of touring that you're basically, you know, aligning yourselves literally with MasterCard and Dodge Trucks and, you know, video games and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, fuck. The whole thing turned from being like critical and in your face and fucking like challenging to just something that's, you know, akin to like candy bar ads and stuff. And it's just like, I found it to be really soul destroying to watch that process unfold, and people not really, you know, giving two shits about, you know, about what they're associated with. And it just seems really weird to us, you know. And I you know, if there's a perceived division or something like that, or, you know, the criticism's heartfelt, and it's just like, I don't think at this point we really consider ourselves to be a part of that scene anymore at all.
So I guess from that it all kind of culminated in the Rock Against Bush, in which kind of Fat Mike and his label came out in support of the Democrats.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, these bands are coming out, like International Noise Conspiracy, Anti-Flag, and supposedly radical bands, and you guys were more or less the only ones who said, no, fuck that. I mean, what do you think about kind of these so-called radical bands like Anti-Flag or International Noise Conspiracy?
Well, in terms of, like, the Democrat Party in the United States, like, I think it's obvious, like, the imperialist history that both of those parties have had, one's certainly more extreme than the other. There's substantive differences in certain issues that affect a lot of people that the Democrats would be certainly better on. But I think the real problem that I had is, like, if you're going to support this party that's a little bit less right-wing than the other one, then you can maybe make a compromise and a gain on certain things. It might be important on that one day every 4 years where you vote, but it just seemed to really overemphasize voting and underemphasize belonging to, like, grassroots organizations or keeping the heat on these people all the time, every day of the year, in between the elections. And it's just like, you know, like, it really just, I think there's this terrible, terrible thing in North America about people just getting involved in the election campaigns. You make your one little vote, and then you go back to playing video games and watching movies 24/7 until, you know, 3.5 years goes by, and then it's time for another one of these silly processes to sort of happen again. Like, I think my main fear was is that it sort of contributed to that illusion that's the only way you can sort of influence politics. And that, I don't know, I think that's dangerous and really misleading and self-deluding, so, I don't know, like, I'm not 100% against Punk Voter, the idea, or what they did, but it would have been nice had they, at the end of it, at the end, like, when Democrats lost and everything, they would have just kept it up and aligned themselves, maybe like with that huge budget they have and all the resources that they have. They could have hired some people from like really good, critical, like actual nonpartisan groups to fucking lobby and, you know, put pressure on the government, or outside of, or in addition to that, you know, just keep grassroots informational campaigns going and fucking, you know, agitate people from the bottom up instead of like just, you know, voting away and having this top-down system of change and putting your faith into that system. It's just like, it's fucked, and it's, I think it's sad, like, just where all those resources and everything were directed after the fact. It went to like these unbelievably dumb fucking glossy punk rock fucking magazines and creating all this fucking side garbage to distract people. It's just like, seems stupid. So, nonetheless, I don't think we're going to do another breakfast bad.
Okay. Are you a vegan yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Is everyone in the band?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'd be quite critical. I'm a vegetarian, but I'd be quite critical of veganism. Why do you think it's an important message to sell along with the social justice issues? I mean, why would you think that a vegan diet is important for people, or is that a part of social justice issues for you?
Yeah, I think they're all sort of linked together in a lot of ways. Like, I think there's huge environment, like outside of health and, you know, ethics about, you know, if you like animals, why eat them, sort of that kind of thing. There's huge ecological issues, and I think this world, that might be the prime issue for this century, is like saving the environment. And, you know, I think things like, you know, veganism is a substantive alternative to a meat-based diet and economy, that it's just so incredibly wasteful. That being said, I realize, you know, a lot of people can't, you know, I'm respectful of people who maybe come from other cultures and stuff like that, or don't have the means to do that right now, but I think it's a way to improve the ecological system in the future. And I don't know, where we come from, factory farming is a very, very fucked up, widespread sort of thing. And just, you know, when entire river systems and ecosystems are being polluted and destroyed just because fucking pig shit's getting just dumped into rivers in mass, it's just like, what the fuck? Why? That's not necessary. We can live without that. We can easily live without that.
So, but would factory farming not be kind of a byproduct of capitalism, where they like need to push profits above all else, and maybe in a more egalitarian society, meat could be produced in a kind of, would you be opposed to that, meat being produced humanely, more humanely?
Well,
meat reform is
coming from a capitalist society, being socialized in one, I do believe that capitalism makes those things worse. And, you know, through the history of, like, domesticated animals being part of, you know, cultures all over the world, I'm not going to bag on somebody in fucking Latin America for raising chickens. But it's like, you know, that's in North America, that's like probably less than 0.5% of meat production is through those kind of means.
Yeah.
But I would agree with you. It's a completely value-added product that is subsidized by the public sector for the interests of private individuals that own these things. It's a gross, distorted industry that's completely fucked.
Potemkin, like, I mean, took you 5 years to get it out, maybe just less?
Well, out of that, like, we didn't really start working on the record till a few years after Empires was out.
Yeah.
And then the recording process, there's just a number of, it seems like a number of delays, and we've never been a band that sort of pushes the envelope on getting product out because, oh, our name might fall out of the media a little bit, we, you know, people will forget us or that kind of stuff. It's like, if we're not really ready to release something, we just don't do it. Like, we've never been a band that has stuck to any kind of deadlines. You know, it's just kind of the way it goes. We didn't plan it to be that way. We're hoping it would come out earlier, but it's just the way shit happens.
Well, like, it was obviously, like, the sound kind of matured a lot from today's Empires. But, I mean, should we expect another album maybe in 5 years' time that's, like, even more mature? Or what direction are you going with that?
I think we're sort of hoping that won't be the case. Like, I think there's a number of riffs being thrown around right now with the idea that we don't want to, you know, have an album every 5 years. But certainly with the new guitar player, Beav, it's like, I think it's going to add a dynamic new sort of quality to the band. And I think we're all pretty excited about proceeding with that, yeah.
What sort of stuff is the band kind of as a whole involved in Winnipeg, or is there much? Like, I know there's OCAP, is that based in Canada, and NEFAC are the only groups I'm aware of around there?
Well, OCAP's in Ontario, that's the province that borders Manitoba, where we're from. We've done actually a lot of, you know, a couple benefits for them and some fundraising work, because they're, you know, I think an ideal sort of, you know, direct action grassroots kind of organization defending, you know, poor people, you know, mm-hmm. can't support that. And highly organized and really effective. I'm not too sure what the status of that group is right now, but I've worked with a group called No One Is Illegal for a while, doing support work for refugees, primarily ones that were going to be deported from Canada in their completely racist immigration system. And I think one situation that we're heading back to in Winnipeg is a family of 8 people who were to be deported to Pakistan, and even though out of their 6 kids, 5 of them had been born in North America, and only one of them speaks a language other than English, and it's just like, it's ludicrous, you know, these things sort of, if it's not in the media, you know, nobody really knows about it, and these people get sent back to a pretty fucking fucked up and shitty situation. What's that?
A lot of these things aren't in the media.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this case wasn't in the media at all until people sort of stepped up and backed him. And if it wasn't for this one woman in Winnipeg making calls around to different churches to appeal for a sanctuary, they would have been sent back. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is like literally like hours before their plane left. And she more or less may have saved their lives. And, I don't know, that's something that, you know, through some of those organizations, it's been really interesting, because you're not just working with like-minded sort of middle-class or working-class people involved in music, you're meeting people from other communities completely, and I have a lot of respect for certain people that I disagree with on certain issues like religion and stuff, but if they're going out and basically confronting the cops and saying, you're not fucking taking this person's living here, and they're willing to fucking back it up with, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, that's a hell of a lot more than most fucking, you know, music bands that I know would ever do, and I have complete respect for them.
Yeah. You have a massive platform as a band to get ideas out, and you do that, you take advantage of that, unlike a lot of bands who kind of are very complacent about it. I mean, you put a lot of material on your albums. But do you think that maybe, does that actually translate to anything in the real world, in your fans?
I think that's an ongoing sort of, you can never know, right? You know, you can't see inside the heads of everybody who hears your stuff, or ever get the chance to meet them, but, you know, like, it's one of those things too, like, you know, I think change isn't historically been made by, you know, it's been instigated by small things, and if we can just influence a few people to get involved in projects, that's better than none.
Uh-huh.
And we've received some interesting emails, and, you know, just people who are, you know, kind of, you know, a little bit into punk rock for a while, and then they move on to other things and stuff like that. It's just like, you know, if we can be a little part of that sort of punk scene that has this group of bands like Subhumans and fucking, you know, MDC and bands like that, then it's like, if we can, we just kind of consider ourselves trying to extend more of that older political punk rock scene, try to stay closer to those roots than to, you know, the more conventional ones these days. And, you know, and the other thing with that is, when we were kids getting into this kind of music, it wasn't like we were just, like, instantaneously political activists. It was, yeah, like, that took a long time to germinate, and I'm still learning about all that stuff. And when I come across, you know, a 16-year-old kid now that's, like, way ahead of me when I was, like, 24, it's like, fucking right, it's way to go, man. Like, it's kind of cool that way. And it's happening, dude.